أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. So to continue about the whole concept of intercession or shafa'ah, when we find a clear ayah in the Quran to talk about the elevated position which all mufassirin exegetes understand it to be the position of shafa'a. What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in surah number 17, surah al-Isra, or the night journey, in surah number 17, the night journey, ayah 79, addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah addresses the Prophet to say that, forsake the sleep for part of the night to offer extra prayers. These are the voluntarily nawafil. Nafila is the voluntarily offered prayers. So the prayers are obligatory, fariḍa, and voluntary, which is nafila. We know that on the night journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the whole prayer, there are hadith about it, to be 51 cycles, 51 rak'ats. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce that because we are lazy people and 51 rak'ats difficult for all of us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split it into two. 34 rak'ats to be obligatory and 17 to be voluntary, fariḍa and nafila. Although the other one, the 17 rak'ats to be obligatory and 34 rak'ats to be nafila. So two rak'ats for Fajr, four rak'ats Dhuhr, four rak'ats Asr, three rak'ats Maghrib, and four rak'ats Isha, 17. But in addition to them, there are 34 more rak'ats. These are what? Nafila. So part of that, which is 11 rak'ats, eight rak'ats of Namaz al-Shab or midnight prayer with the Shafa and Watr, all together make 11 rak'ats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Prophet in this ayah, surah number 17, ayah 79, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ, do this tahajjud, نَافِلَةً لَكْ عَسَىٰ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates you to the highest level and status. What is that highest level? Is the level or the position or the merit of shafa'ah and intercession to your ummah, your people. So the results and the fruits of tahajjud is good for everybody. But in this particular case, we see that it is the source of being granted that position of shafa'ah, al-maqam al-mahmud. And that's why towards the end of Ziyarati Jami'ah, what's Ziyarati Jami'ah? The Ziyarah, which is the best of the Ziyarat, offered, and it was taught by the 10th Imam, Imam Ali al-Hadi alayhi salam, Imam Ali al-Naqi, to Musa bin Abdullah al-Nakhai and it is considered by all our ulama as the best ziyarah when you go to the shrines of our Imam alayhi salam. Yeah? So sometimes some ulama have written 5 volumes commentary only on this particular ziyarah. So towards the end of this ziyarah, ziyarat al-jami'ah, yeah, we see that addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Imams with this al-maqam al-mahmud, the praiseworthy position, the elevated position, and that is the position of being granted the shafa'a by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be wasila by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the applications of that, we find it in Surah number 4, Ayah 64. Surah An-Nisa, bless you. Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 64. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet saying, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. If people, and this is the exact translation of the ayah, Surah number 4, ayah 64. If people, after committing a sin, and doing injustice to themselves, of course, when a person commits a sin, doesn't make any harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does injustice and harm to himself or herself. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, when they commit sin and do injustice to themselves, جَاءُوكَ, they come to you. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ, they sought pardon and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Plus, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for them. لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا, they will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the oft forgiving and the merciful. So, in mathematics, when you have A plus B makes C, when you omit B, I ask you, still A equals C? Of course not. When in the formula, A plus B makes what? C. If you delete B, A for itself in no longer is in no longer equals the C. So those who say and claim that we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we communicate directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't need anyone to intercede for, there is no benefit from intercession at all. In reality, they are challenging this ayah of the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that both are needed. First, they ask for repentance, and repentance must be with full sincerity. Repentance is very, very difficult task, because the Imam Ali alayhi salam once in the mosque of Kufa noticed somebody just saying, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. He said, wait a minute. Do you know what is astaghfirullah? Astaghfirullah is very, very important and complicated issue. It needs 6 things to be met all together in order to make it a real repentance and a real astaghfirullah. Now, I've mentioned only 2 of those 6. The first one, an-nadamu ala ma mada, that you regret what happened. For example, you mistakenly did something. For example, you did riba, backbiting, or you shouted, without any reason on somebody, or snatch their whatever property or anything like that. Yeah. So first, another mu'ana mu'ana. You really have to feel the regret inside you. That's why. Why did they? So another mu'ana mu'ana to regret. Second, العزم على ترك العود إليه أبدا. The firm decision not to go for it at all. Never. So these are the most important pillars and requirements for a real repentance. Okay. So when somebody commits a sin, first must repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this ayah. Then واستغفر لهم الرسول. And the Prophet top it up with himself asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive these people. In one of the battles, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was severely attacked, yeah, and one of his teeth was broken, everybody thought that now he's going to be angry when they noticed his moving his lips and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His words were, Allah maghfir li qawmi fa innahu la ya'lamu. Oh Allah, forgive my people because they are ignorant. When you get angry, don't try to punch in the face of somebody who insulted you. You learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he says that, oh, they are ignorant people. They did it out of ignorance. And the same happened with Yaqub and his sons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yusuf the whole problem and the difficulty Yaqub went through after Yusuf was taken away from him, searching for him, and later on the other brother, Benjamin, was taken. But when they came to him, they said, Ya Abana, O father, istighfir lana Rabbana. After they noticed and observed that they did wrong, they decided to repent. They came to their father and said, O father, ask Allah forgiveness for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us in the Quran that they repented to Allah. No. They came to father and asked him to seek forgiveness from Allah, pardon from Allah for them. So it is in another way. It is shafa, it is intercession. It is the role of that funnel who is connected to the unlimited with us, the limited one, to connect us together and allow the grace of Allah, the bounty of Allah, the forgiveness and pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all come to us through the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to be in this position. Going back to the illa bi'idhnihi, which means the permission given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know for sure that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraws his attention from the whole world will collapse in less than a second. So to put an end to the whole world or to whole life, there is no need for tons of dynamite or explosive things to do that. The moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraws his attention and care from anything, it will collapse. And that is taken from one of the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Al-Qayyum. So in Ayat al-Kursi, we start Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. And in another ayah, وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ. So, الْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ, الْحَيِّ, the ever-living, which life is not given to him, it is essential and inherent in his, in him, in himself. So, الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ. الْقَيُّومِ means the one who is holding everything else and doesn't need anyone to hold him. This is the meaning of Qayyum. The one who holds everything. So the moment he withdraws his attention, his grace, his whatever, I mean authority, everything will collapse. And here, one of the du'as we always need to read that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfat aynin abada, which means that don't leave everything to me. I am in continuous and constant need to your protection, your guidance, and your grace. Because the moment you leave me alone, I'm gone. So the issue or the question of intercession and shafa'ah, that if I can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and I don't need to go to the priest to intercede for me, because you know that in Christianity, I mean in most of the churches, there's a particular part for the people when they commit sin to go and confess to the priest about their sins, thinking that that is going to work. No, in repentance and confession, you don't need to go to the priest. But of course, what we know for shafa'ah and intercession is that everything in this world is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The full authority is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in order to make us successful in whatever needs we have, we need to seek the assistance of those with Allah's permission. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ مَنْ الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. With his permission, they are chosen to do so. And let's end up with the hadith where Adam alayhi salam, about whom we spoke last week, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ, what happened? فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the full, whatever, pardon. And what are those kalimat, those words received by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Received and given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Adam, what are those words? In many authentic hadith we read from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam, look at the arsh or the throne. And he noticed five names there. And that's why he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya hamidu bihaqi Muhammad. Ya Ali, Ya Ali bihaq Ali. Ya Fatir bihaq Fatima. Ya Muhsin bihaq al-Hasan. Ya Qadim al-Ihsan bihaq al-Husayn. Illa ma farajta anni. So Adam himself was told, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via these five names. These are Al-Khamsa Ashab al-Kisa, or the Panchten as we call them, the five dignitaries who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and created their lights 14,000 years before creation of Adam. We have often the hadith about that in the books of hadith, that the light of these five dignitaries were created before the creation of Adam for 14,000 years. So that's why Adam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him, to assist him, to give him remedy about what happened. And that is what we do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Ali, Lady Fatima, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi sallam, to grant us the success in this life and hereafter, to accept our acts of worship the whole month of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole month of Ramadan. We ask Him to grant us the best of what He grants to His chosen ones. And that is normally what we read, inshallah, tomorrow in Salat al-Eid. Allahumma inni as'aluka an tudkhilani fi kulli khayrin أدخلت في محمد وآل محمد وأن تخرجني من كل سوء أخرجت منه محمدا وآل محمد. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, admit me to every goodness that you has given to Muhammad and his household, and take me out of any calamity and wrongdoing that you took Muhammad and his household out of that calamity. May Allah accept your amal and give us the tawfiq to walk on the right path. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
That's questions.
Thank you very much for your very informative lecture. So it was very clear. The one aspect I was hoping you could clarify a little bit further for me. So I understand it's our belief that Allah is the most Rahman, the most Rahim. And if we were to ask Him for something directly, He would take a view whether or not that dua should be granted. I also understand if His chosen ones, for example, the Panjitan, if they were to ask Him something, He would look down more favourably on them because of their characters and who they are. If you could just help clarify the understanding and the logic behind, if we were to ask through the chosen ones, why there may be a difference in their view. So if Allah might not accept directly and they might ask or pray for our dua, why there may be a difference between the view of the chosen ones and Adallah. If you could clarify the logic.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Look, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us certain things, and we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with 99 most beautiful names. So He is Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahim, He is closer to us than whatever, anything we can imagine, but He is the source of every goodness, but He is the wise. And wisdom requires not to focus on this particular person who is asking, for example, that you or somebody has some difficulty and Allah asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove that difficulty and to make it easy for him or for her. But whether wisdom accepts such a thing or it might be delayed and we read in and we read every night in Dua al-Iftitah, وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَطَّلَ عَنِّي هُوَ خَيْرٌ لِي لِعِلْمِكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. This is in Dua al-Iftitah that it is highly recommended to recite every night during month of Ramadan. وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَطَّلَ عَنِّي هُوَ خَيْرٌ لِي لِعِلْمِكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. I ask something and I want it now. What you know out of wisdom that it is not the right time for it. You delay it and postpone it for some other time. And this is the meaning. وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَطَّى عَنِّي. It might be the things which you delayed and postponed is better for me, but I rush, I need it just now. Because you know about the consequences and the future and everything, all right? So this is one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes does not grant us what we wish, all right? Because to give it some other time is better. This one thing, yeah, this one thing. The second point is that sometimes this clashes with the other interests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not immediately accept my dua or my supplication because it causes some sort of clash with other people's interests. And normally I give this example. I said that imagine that in the old days people would make their huts with clay. So that's the new fresh clay needs the sun heat to dry it out for a week, for example, and be able to dwell. The other one has a farm and he cultivated that and sowed the seed there waiting for the rain. So the farmer said, oh Allah, send me rain and this is my land to become so and so. The other one said, oh Allah, don't send rain, let's to be sunshine there in order that my heart to. So what do you expect of Allah to that? To listen to this or listen to that? Of course, I mean, because the clash of interest between people, I mean, makes it difficult. Nothing is difficult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are practically talking, yeah. So may be the in the interest or in the benefit of this one that his dua be accepted and not the other one. Right? But your question is more important than that. It's a stage even higher. And that is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hypothetically decided not to give this at all to me, how the Imams alayhi salam or those who we ask their intercession will act upon that?
Or why?
Yeah. So are they, in other words, are they doing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against Allah's will? Or again, they intercede and say that if there is any possible way, in extra grace and bounty to be given, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens that for them. So in order to show thee again, in the case of, for example, dead people at the time of Isa alayhi salam, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the dead and there is no need for Isa to intervene, all right? But in order to show that Isa has something special, and the same time with that istighfar in Surah number 4, ayah 64, okay, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them if he wishes. But what is the need for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and say, oh Allah, please, these are ignorant people, so please help them, yeah? Always, maybe two voices work better than one voice. The voice of the person who asks and the voice of another person who is either the Prophet or the Imam or the chosen ones, as illa man irtaba or man radiya lahu qawla in the Quran. But in no way that we say that they do something which is opposite. opposite to the will of Allah. No, it is not like that at all. Yes, that's it, Hassan.
Yeah, and Al is Al Ayat, some Ayat as Mansukh, and some are Mutashabih. And this particular, this Mutashabih Ayat, are not creating some confusion.
Okay, what is the difference between the Muhkam and Mutashabih? Of course, this is in Surah number 3, in the beginning of the Surah, Surah Al Imran, that Ayatun Muhkamatun Hun Ummul Kitab wa Ukharu Mutashabihat. فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. Alright. So there are certain ayat in the Quran which are clear, crystal clear. For example, when Allah سبحانه وتعالى says that ليس كمثله شيء, nothing is to be compared to him. That's unequivocal. You can't even suggest any alteration to it. Or when we read that the share of, for example, a single daughter is half in the property of whatever the assets of her father, or the share of, for example, the wife when she's got children is 1/8, or when doesn't have any children, that 1/4, quarter. All right, these are fixed. You can't suggest any alteration or any interpretation or any ijtihad about them. In the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when you've got 40 goats or sheep, then these are, and they remain with you for the whole year, you have to pay one out of them as zakat. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who commit certain acts of whatever, I mean, adultery or something like that, then they have to be given 100 lashes. So 100 is 100, all right? 99 is not acceptable, 101 is not acceptable. This is what's welcome. Mutashabih are those who create some sort of, or cause some sort of ambiguity. Yeah. And, for example, what we mentioned in the past, in the divine attributes, I think it was the first session we had, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, Allah's hand is on top of their hands. It doesn't mean that everybody in this classroom, I mean, putting his or her hand and at the end, I mean, at the top of that is Allah's hand there. No. Because here, of course, hand, when you talk about it literally, is this. Or what we are normally understand about the physical whatever organ or limb, all right? But because that muhkam, which is Allah, laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing to be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why we say that Allah's hand to be interpreted as what? As Allah's authority, Allah's power. Or the same ayah which says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-'arshi istawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has settled on the throne. Okay, so we may imagine that, oh, that there's a king and emperor sitting on the throne, so Allah did it the same thing. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah, who is known by all the Salafis and the Wahhabis as Shaykh al-Islam, who died in the year 728 AH, yeah, once went to the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus and went to the highest level of the minbar, pulpit, and sat on the pulpit and said that Allah settled on the throne as I'm settling on this minbar. Now, this is what we call it anthropomorphism, which means that attributing the, or referring the attributes to us, we are good for us, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, he's not like that. So, what is Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa? Okay, Arsh here refers to Allah's full authority over everything. But when there is no other word to tell us about the unseen, which is Alam al-Ghayb, yeah, we have no access to to alam al ghayb, to the unseen. We are only dealing with the physical and materialistic feelings and senses. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a word which is suitable for that meaning, but to might give some sort of ambiguity about that. So, in the, I mean, as a brief conclusion, in the Quran there are ayat which are clear, crystal cut, and these are wahkam. As we said that, for example, 100, like 100, or for example, laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing to be compared to him. That, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Okay? لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He does not beget and not begotten. Doesn't. And anyone who talk about Trinity or Father, Son, and something like that, we say that look, this is not acceptable at all, because it is clear in the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Even if you want to make it metaphorical, it is not acceptable because we are not allowed to do so. But about those, here are two people, two different people. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, those who have some disease in their hearts, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ, they follow those which are ambiguous, المتشابه, in order to create fitna and confusion. But وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَرَاسِخُونَ بِالْعِلْمِ, no one knows the interpretation of those but Allah and those who have been given the depth of knowledge. And we see in the hadith that الراسخون في العلم are no one but the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Imam of Ahlul Bayt عليه السلام.
سيدنا آخر حديث حول آدم عليه السلام والكلمات.
لا.
والله سبحانه وتعالى قال له انظر إلى العرش أو إلى جهة العرش فوجد الأسماء الخمسة المكتوبة.
أو الأنوار الخمسة.
أو الأنوار الخمسة. السؤال حول العرش نفسه مولانا. لا. هل أنه العرش محدد بمكان وقال له انظر إليه وثمانية يحملون عرش ربك يومئذ أو ما يتعلق بالعرش؟
It is a good question about the ayah in the Quran that the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is carried by 8 angels. Right. Of course, again, this is one of the ayahs which needs interpretation or ta'wil, because it is mutashabih. And why? Because, again, it is not a big throne, and that's grown, for example, like Solomon, for example, or emperor, which needs 8 people to carry him. This is metaphorically understood, and in another way that it is mutashabih, and for every mutashabih, we have to refer to the interpretation or ta'wil, which is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah's chosen ones. And these are the Imams alayhi wasalam. What you are referring to is that the direction. Again, when celestial sphere is in the Quran expressed in a way that we are familiar with. Otherwise, we don't have samawat. Everything with that samawat wal ard, khalaqa as-samaa'a wal ard, samawat wal ard. Yeah. So when you talk about Isa alayhi salam is elevated to the 4th level, as-samaa'a al-rabi'a, what does it mean? I mean, does it mean that there are seven samawat, that are 7 levels moving from one to another, which is physical? Of course, it's not physical. It is not physical. It is elevated from status to another spiritually. Alright? So, when raising your head and your eyes to the highest possible celestial sphere, that becomes a samawat al-ula or al-arsh. So, but to express it, because we don't have any other word to communicate what these things which are familiar with. You see? That if you want to talk to a child about something so complicated, you try to make it so easy in a language that the child understands it, in order to, otherwise, I mean, he can't, he or she, I mean, cannot comprehend at all about anything you are talking about. So, because always we are stuck in the alam dunya, in the physical and materialistic world, anything which is behind the physical, whatever, limited concept of time and space and measure, anything behind that, whatever we try to express it, we don't have words, what these are which are suitable for us. So we say that, Sama al-Arsh, all right? So direction. Otherwise, of course, direction means to that you raise your head or raise your eyes to the highest, whatever celestial sphere, and that is al-Arsh. Of course, the word is used, or the wording is something which we might be take it for the whatever we are familiar with, and that is the problem always the time. So we have always to have that ability. Had we been given the eye that we can see behind the curtain, then it would make a big difference. Yes.
Also, a little bit confused. If you could put some more light, on the first question of the gentleman, the little boy. If you could throw some more light on it, please. Because they don't, the divinity or the divine
let's make it simple, as simple as this. Indeed, two things. One, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills not to grant that particular thing to me, even when I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of Hazrat Abbas or Imam Hussein, he is not going to grant me that. If Allah's wisdom is not to grant me, not to give me that or fulfill that wish, even that is not going to help, all right? Second point. Let me tell you about one of my experiences. When I was only 18, I went from Najaf to Karbala. It was Thursday evening, and it was normal that people from Najaf to Karbala, which is approximately 80 kilometers, go an hour drive, or buses, coaches to take us. So I was in the shrine of Hazrat Abbas, and I noticed one Arab man, very clean and dressed in a very nice way, make it like this, take from me. And I noticed the khuddam of Hazrat Abbas rushing towards this gentleman and taking 10 dinars banknotes from his pockets. And those days, I mean, each dinar was equivalent to £2, all right? And I'm talking about some 50 years or more. So you can see that. Until they got 100 dinars from his pockets. What he was doing like this, take from me. So I was surprised. And then he told the khuddam, he said that my son, while he was on the roof, was playing, he fell down and now he was in the coma. I made another, and here I tell you about another. All right? I made another. Oh Allah, if you give remedy to my son, I will take 100 dinars to the shrine of Hazrat Abbas and donate it there. This is exactly the case. Whilst the doctor said that there is no hope in him to recover from the coma, suddenly they noticed that he woke up and he got the recovery. Now it is my role to do my leather. But my ego, my nafs tells me, how can you give 100 dinars? So, but I fear, if I don't do it, this is a cultural thing in Iraq. If I don't do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will attack back and I will suffer from that. That's why I said, take it from me. And I saw by my own eyes that these people are taking the banknotes, I mean, from his pocket. So, what happened in the case of Nadir? And we've seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when seeing some sort of sincerity in my heart, and I'm offering help to the needy, donating to them, and that exactly comes to the donation and to charity. When there is a hadith to say that when there is illness or there is evil eyes or anything like that, when you pay sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the calamity and that difficulty. So, when you show some sort of kindness and mercy to the needy and poor, when you make intention that you offer food or assistance or, support orphan or donate to some good cause or whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to compensate this mercy and kindness from you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pour more grace in your case. So this can be through repentance, through nadr, through sadaqah, charity, or through asking in the honor of Imams alayhi wasalam, to do so. So there are many ways to allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to allow, it is not a good word, to beg Allah's more mercy to pour on us, and that is the more light to be shed on the subject.
Thank you.
All right. Barakallahu fiqh.